Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms, joined as always by my good friend Tyler O. And today we are going to be talking about some way too early, super spicy hot takes that we have for the 2026 fantasy football season. We've got some perspectives that are, you know, a little bit more in the lane of season long, and then also some stuff that speaks to some dynasty. So we get a little bit of both blended opinions from both Tyler and I about different things that we think are going to come true in the fantasy future. But before we get into that, Tyler, how are you doing on this fine Monday evening?
NFL combine season is right around the corner, man. To me, that's when things feel extremely real. Obviously, there's a lot going on. We can talk about the Senior Bowl, but there's something about the combine. There's that national television. Everyone's hyped up about, you know, things that might not matter as much, like 40 times bench press. But to me, it's always a signal that the NFL season is closer than you think. And more importantly, the NFL draft is closer than you think. So thrilled to be able to watch the combine, have that on in the background, to watch some of the prospects that I've had a lot of interest in to see how they do. We all know that maybe there's some elements of the combine that don't matter for fantasy, but draft capital does. And combine results are directly tied to that draft capital. So, man, we're diving in. I'm ready to go.
It's going to be a fun time watching the combine. And if you're not sure what names you need to pay attention to, you could go over to ftnfantasy.com and check out my preview of the 2026 NFL combine. I highlighted a few names of some players, some of these skill positions that you can keep your eye on as the week unfolds. But of course, we have to get right into our main topic, as we talked about up top, way too early, super spicy 2026 fantasy football takes. Tyler, I will hand it over to you first. What is your first perspective, opinion that you hold, that you just have to share with the people?
Thanks, Herms. So let's rewind the clock a little bit. I'm going to set this one up. We're not diving right in. So okay. 2024 season, okay, 2 years ago, we had a rookie quarterback, didn't start a full season, finished as a QB16, showed some promise, but there maybe were some question marks on how things were going to go. You and I, Herms, had this quarterback as a buy last offseason, so going into 2025, as a player that we were targeting in the dynasty, as a player that we were targeting in redraft, that we wanted to get a piece of, that we were saying, hey, you know, he had a good rookie season. He's going in a very favorable spot in drafts and dynasty and redraft, but we think he's destined for more. We think he's going to provide value to you as possible a late round quarterback that has that upside. That quarterback was Drake May. Now, we nailed it, Herms. Okay. He did take a step forward in his second year. He finished as a QB2 overall. He was a fringe quarterback one going into the season, both in dynasty and where he was drafted. That said, let's look for the next Drake May. Who is 2026's Drake May? To nobody's surprise, man, it's going to be Jackson Dart in 2026. He is going to be the next Drake May. Okay. Very similar. He had a really good rookie season. I mean, from weeks four when he became a starter to week 10, when he started catching some injuries, he was a QB4 overall. Now, he didn't play the full season, just like Drake May, but he showed a lot of promise, just like Drake May. Now, I expect some, you know, coaching changes, what have you. The injury, people are, you know, afraid that he's going to have a lot of concussions and not play a full season. It's going to drive that value down a little bit. Now, he's probably not going to be around as cheap as Drake May was, but certainly, you know, a guy who's going to be drafted, in my opinion, is probably going to settle in around that QB10, QB12 area, just as Drake May did last season. And then Jackson Dart in 2026 is going to put together a top 5 year, just like Drake May did in his sophomore year. So for me, Jackson Dart is the 2026 Drake May, the quarterback that you need to be getting, whose price is too low, whose value is going to absolutely skyrocket after this next season.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I, as listeners know, feel very similarly about Jackson Dart. He's a guy that I just think a lot of people maybe aren't taking as seriously because of concerns about the offense. What's going to happen with Matt Nagy coming in as the offensive coordinator? Not exactly a favorite of people. You know, if you forgot who he was, he used to be the head coach of the Bears back in the day when they were a little bit gross with Mitch Trubisky under center. Then, you know, carried on, did some things over there with Kansas City. But you look at what Jackson Dart went out there and did last year. He was very efficient with his arm, and he was very good on the ground. You can't put a price on a guy who is that efficient on the ground as well. It's free fantasy points that you're going to add every single week. I absolutely love it. Jackson Dart, one of our favorite quarterbacks on this show. Obviously, we're pretty far out from you settling into your rankings for the 2026 season and everything. That we have several months until you get more of those specifics nailed down, but just kind of ballpark it for people. Where do you think Dart might end up in your rankings, and how early in drafts do you think people might have to, you know, take him, like, sort of round wise?
Yeah, so, you know, I can actually give that to you because you know, my dynasty ranks have been published for a while, but recently just did my 2026 ranks as well, Herm. So I'm right there. So in Dynasty, he sits as my QB9, right? So really comfortable with him there. The players around him make a ton of sense to me. That's the kind of like range that I want to be targeting there for Mr. Jackson Dart. Now for the 2026 rankings. Let me actually pull these up here. I'm absolutely stalling to get these out here. 2026 draft. As I pull it up, come on. They're not new. It's still early in the season here. So like, I got to remember where everything's at. Absolutely. Yeah, Jackson Dart sits at quarterback 8 for me. So I want to be aggressive. I want to be aggressive. He's a player that I'll be targeting. You know, a lot of respect for Trevor Lawrence, Caleb Williams, what they're able to do this past season. And this is, I don't even mean to segue here. We could be segueing.
Actually, a very good segue opportunity because, Tyler, I'm curious, where does Caleb Williams end up in your rankings for the 2026 season?
I have Caleb Williams currently at the 10 mark, okay? I have him over Mahomes right now, and I haven't really settled into that, or it necessarily hasn't felt great, but I can't shy away from where Caleb Williams kind of finished the year. Like, he looked very strong. There was multiple plays throughout the season where he looked like an elite quarterback. Now, I wouldn't say he's put it all together, but he has taken that step forward, and we know what Ben Johnson's capable of, so falls below Jackson Dart for me, but still a guy that I have some interest in and really interested to see how things play out as we get to draft season.
Big same. And I do really enjoy what we saw out of Caleb Williams and the Bears at the end of last year, but I'm still not entirely there when it comes to Dynasty, and that is going to be the place that I start. It's maybe not the hottest take in the world. I know that there are a lot of other people who share this perspective, but just taking a look at where Caleb Williams is valued in the market over on Keep Trade Cut, he is currently the quarterback 3 ahead of names like Jaden Daniels, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, just behind our good friend Drake May that we just got finished talking a little bit about. And my big perspective is, Just get out while you can. Just do it. Get out of the Caleb market, because this price and what you can pivot off of, I think, is rich enough that more people should be interested in doing that. Now, I do think he deserves a lot of credit. He ranked 33rd out of 38 qualified quarterbacks in adjusted sack rate last year after finishing 3rd overall as a rookie. He was able to maneuver around the pocket and avoid getting hit significantly better last year. But the issue that I have is that we still don't know if he can deliver the ball to his receivers well enough. He was dead last in catchable air yards rate as a rookie and only improved that percentage from 41.7 to 51.8 last year, which was 32nd out of the 38 qualified quarterbacks. So I look at things like that. I look at things like his accuracy rating basically being on par somewhere down there in the low 30s. And I think, why are we so sure that this guy and the rest of the Bears offense is going to develop around him for this to be worth a QB3 price? Because that doesn't even get into all the concerns we have with Roma Dunze. Got hurt at the end of last year, but even then the connection between the two of them wasn't particularly strong for the earlier parts of the year either. We've talked about the Luther Burden thing only being really 3 games. I like Colston Loveland and everything we saw from him at the end of last year into the playoffs. I believe it 1,000% to be like very real for him specifically, but how many of those guys beyond him? Is it just Loveland that's going to be the big star? Is Odunze going to do that? Is Burden going to do that? Is it going to be all three of them? I don't know that I really want to pay that much to take that chance to assume that every single part of the Bears offense develops, because I think that that upside coming true is fully baked into that QB3 price. And if you can take Caleb and tear down a little bit and pick up some extra draft capital, you could even do this to make a deal for Jackson Dart. If you could get Dart and some rookie pick capital on top of that, I think that's probably the smarter thing to do. I had to plant my flag. I had to put my stance out there. That is how I feel about the Bears and the Caleb Williams thing. Where are you at with that whole thing? Are you kind of a little bit more on my side, or do you lean in another direction?
I think you hit the nail on the head there, Herms. He's not a guy. The Bears are going to be expensive, right? The Ben Johnson effect, they all took a step forward. But like Rome Odunze, great season to start. Things fell off, obviously. Loveland took a while to break out. Burden is falsely being projected up there. I don't really know what's going to happen to running back quite yet. So for me, it's just I'm not interested because the prices are not going to be good. Certainly those prices, QB3 is a little bit ridiculous there for me, so. I ain't got anything much to add except for I agree strongly.
Well, there you go. Always good to be in lockstep. Let's see if the same is true of you and I for your next perspective. What is the next take you want to fire out there?
I cannot quit. I cannot quit Breece Hall. And I'm buying Breece Hall. I'm continuing to draft Breece Hall. I am absolutely here for Breece Hall season. Now, I feel like for some reason, in some circles, he seemed to have caught some like injury-prone tag or something like that. But I mean, he missed his rookie year, but he's played almost full seasons the last three seasons. In those three seasons, he's finished as the running back 2, the running back 16, and the running back 18, right? Obviously, things did not go well for the Jets offense. Now, I would not say that it was Breece's fault. I think anybody who watched the Jets offense would blame Breece Hall for his QB 18 finish. But I don't see it really going much worse. I think we have hit the floor with Breece Hall. I think it's going to get better. I think a couple things could happen. A, he goes somewhere else in free agency. Maybe he gets tagged and traded. I don't know anywhere that he would go that it might be worse than what he experienced last year on the Jets. And then even if he stays on the Jets for some reason, you got to think things are going to get better at the quarterback position. They cannot have the plan to roll out the quarterbacks that they did again in 2026. And there's some like simple metrics there. I mean, he had 48 targets last season. I mean, he's been a 95, 76 target kind of guy. He's an 80 target player, and he almost saw half of that. There wasn't a lot of touchdowns going around on that team. It's just like, this was the worst of the worst here. He finished as a running back 18. I am completely comfortable with Breece Hall being in my top 12. I think he's clearly a top 10 talent without question. He's still 24 years old. He's just a player that I want to continue targeting. And everything that I've seen so far leads me to believe that his value is going to be lower than where he should be. So he's a guy that I'm going to continue to be targeting both in Dynasty as a buy. He's the kind of guy right now I'd go out and trade a late first for, no questions asked. And then, you know, going into, you know, the next season here, you know, he's a player that's going to be well below what I consider to be a good range for him. So I currently have him at running back 14 for the year. Okay. He has room to move up a little bit. But I don't want to be much below it. I want to stay ahead on Breece Hall in redraft, and I want to make him a buy. If you're hurting at running back and you have a late first, this is probably not the draft for you to take that swing. Just go trade that pick for Breece Hall.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think that every now and then in fantasy, we get these opportunities like this where we see players sort of at their floor. And you have to think to yourself, okay, if this is absolutely the worst that it gets, am I still interested in this player? Yeah, I think Breece Hall is a really good example of that. I also think that Jalen Hurts is a really good example of that. I'll throw in a quick one kind of here. One of the things that I had was just looking at the fact that Keep Trade Cut has him as the QB 10, and he finishes the QB 11 in points per game last year, with Kevin Petullo being an absolute disaster, with the team not really reaching the red zone very often as a result of that. So, like, if that is his floor, Why wouldn't I be interested in that? Both very good value opportunities, I feel, headed into 2026. But when it comes to the running back position, there's actually another player in that same rookie class that Breece Hall came in with that I think people are overlooking as well. But that is something that we are going to talk about on the other side of our commercial break. Don't go anywhere, folks.
Yo, 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 how's it hanging? C.H. Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes podcast here to ask you a question. Have you wanted to get in on some NFL action, but don't live in a state that has a sports book? Well, we have great news. Our newest partner, Novig, is America's number one sports prediction market, offering better odds than sports books in over 35 states. If you're looking to tail some of our plays for the NFL playoffs and all sorts of other sports, new players on Novig can get a free month of an FTN GOAT subscription when they sign up and use promo code FTN with their first purchase. Plus, you'll get 50% off your first purchase up to $25 in Novig cash. All you gotta do is download the Novig app, enter code FTN before making your first purchase of $50 or less, and the discount will automatically apply. Also, your promo code for that free month of an FTN GOAT tier will be in your email inbox before you know it. What a deal! We look forward to having you play on Novig with us this year. Be sure to check it out and use that promo code FTN.
All right, welcome back, folks. We are still talking about some way too early, super spicy 2026 fantasy football takes on the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. We will get right back into it and pick up where I had teased, talking about a different running back from the 2022 NFL draft class. His name is James Cook from the Buffalo Bills, and I just, the more I think about him and the more I think about how good he was last year, I think he is a bona fide, like, top five, maybe even top three. Maybe this is actually the bigger take to begin with. We probably have at least three more seasons of high-end top five elite production from James Cook, and I don't care that he will be turning 27 years old in September at all. Because one of the things that you look at when it comes to the running back position, I mean, like, yes, people get hung up on the age thing. We always worry about, oh, when they hit that cliff, the production's going to fall off and then they're going to be useless. Once you hit somewhere around 28, 29, people start losing interest. But with running backs, it's more important how many hits their body has taken. And I think people need to realize that James Cook still has a lot of tread on those tires. You look back at his workload when he was a rookie, he only had 110 touches. You even go back even further into his college career, 49 as a freshman, 47 as a sophomore, 61 as a junior. He didn't get into triple digits until his last season in 2021, and he wasn't even the lead rusher on his own team. And I zoomed out even further just to take a look at this and kind of see, well, over the last couple of years, especially, the Bills have pounded James Cook into the ground. What about his professional workload, the cumulative number of touches he has seen since turning pro? And it's really not that bad. 972 in 66 career games. That is an average of 14.7 per game. And we just look at some of his other classmates from the 2022 class. Breece Hall himself, 943 in 56 games. Less games played, but that's about, you know, 16.8 per game. Ken Walker at 954 in 58 games. Just to kind of give you an idea, we are talking about a guy who's still pretty gently used in the grand scheme of things, but James Cook, only the RB8, according to Keep Trade Cut. And I think that that is just leaning a little bit too far on what his birth certificate says and not really thinking too much about the fact that he is one of the most dominant backs in the league. The Bills are changing basically nothing by promoting former offensive coordinator Joe Brady to the head coach position. I think people should just not worry about the fact that he's going to be 27 in September and start sending away more picks and feeling more comfortable with it. Is that too spicy, or are you kind of with me on this?
I love your take on the tread, and I think that's such an important conversation, Herms. And I love the way you framed it, because people look at an age, and I think this is a common trap for not just new dynasty, but veteran dynasty players as well, is they just get so focused on the birth certificate at the age that they see a player hit 27, 28, and like, I got to get out. You know, I got to get out. If I can get a couple first, I got to do it. And I think that's a terrible idea. I think age does not matter when you are an elite producer, right? I think age is not a thing that we need to consider when we have elite talent and elite producer, in which James Cook is. What you need to look for is there a fall off in production, right? People were out on Travis Kelce 4 or 5 seasons ago because he was 28, 29 years old. Did we see the fall off this year? Yeah, but you got a lot from him. Mike Evans, people were selling for seconds 4 or 5 years ago because he was older, getting up to 28, 29. Devonta Adams was fairly cheap 2, 3 years ago. Derrick Henry. I mean, the list goes on, man. People, and these are elite producers, right? These are elite producers at the position, mm-hmm. which James Cook absolutely is at this point in time. So I'm with you. He's got 3 years left. And on top of that, I could care less about the tread. The tread just helps the argument, Herms. The tread helps the argument. I would be okay with this take, even if he was a full-time bell cow back this whole time. But he's not. So we have that going for us as well. So he is my running back 5 redraft and RB6 in Dynasty. So I'm with you as far as like a top 5 guy. The offense works for him. He's clearly better than the rest of them. I don't care what they do in the offseason. I don't think they're going to add enough pass catchers there to really make a difference. It's going to take enough away. So I love the take here, Herms. I mean, James Cook has proven to be an elite back in the league.
Oh, and as you were saying, you got him at 6. I have him at 4 and keep trade cut. Just to remind people again, RB8. So, hey, we are both ahead of market. Just something to consider. If you're out there and you really do want to pull the trigger on a running back, you now have multiple options from the both of us on this show. Let's move back over to the brain of Mr. Tyler O. What is the next perspective that you would like to share with people? What is this thing that you are firmly holding your belief behind that you just have to get out?
This was inspired by you, Herms. I got to say it. We talked about this on the last show, and I did some digging since then, and I don't think you had this intention for me to maybe go this far, but I kind of went back and looked at everything and thought to myself, like, all right, so let's start here. This isn't the player, but let's set the stage. Let's set it up. It's fair that we had a historic tight end season out of the rookies, right? Fannin finished as a top 5 guy. You know, Warren and Loveland didn't necessarily finish that high, but Warren, incredible, incredible first half of the season when there was actual decent QB play. Loveland took a little bit, but things broke out in a major way where he was the focal point of that passing offense that's ascending, okay? So it's really easy to get excited about this trio of rookie tight ends going forward. As we know, tight ends usually get better. Unless you're Kyle Pitts. Anyways, these three guys, and they look good too. Like, it's not like we're out here saying they're not good. I mean, they are.
Oh, for sure.
So most people are like, you know, this, I feel like it's going to be common to see, you know, your Bowers and your Trey McBride at the top 2. But then after that, it's going to be these 3 rookies with maybe a little bit of a difference in between. And what I want to talk about the difference and what I think makes this maybe a little bit of a hot or uncommon take is I went back to the board and I moved LaPorta over all 3 of these rookie tight ends. All 3 of them. And it really came down to a couple things. Like, one, we've seen him with a tight end 1 finish his rookie year. He finished as a tight end 7 in 2024. And then he was doing pretty well last season before he got hurt. And I just look at his play. I look at he's still 25. You know, presumably he's going to be healthy. The Lions, you know, the offense is still looking good. Maybe not Ben Johnson good, but damn, it still looks good. And he just strikes me as a player like, it's the rookie fever, and it strikes us because it's fun, it's sexy, it's nice to look at these rookies and move them up the board because you want to be early on them, you want to be in on them. But in the meantime, like, let's look at it objectively. Fannin was great, but there really wasn't much else there, right? Loveland couldn't put a full season together, and I probably think he's probably the best wide receiver there, but there's a lot of options there, and I don't trust Caleb Williams as a consistent passer, right? And then you look at the Colts side, we don't really know exactly what's going to happen there. Tyler Warren clearly is good, but, you know, they still got Downs, maybe Pittman, 6th round for another season. Like, the case can be made, but I looked at everything and I said, you know what? I'm going to let everyone else chase. Like, obviously, we're going to see McBride. We're going to see Bowers go in the first, you know, early 2nd round. But there's going to be this, like, middle tier where I think these people are going to be chasing these rookie tight ends, and for good reason. And I'm just going to probably sit back and wait maybe another round or two and grab Sam LaPorta as a guy that I believe to be an elite tight end that's probably going to be a little cheaper than these hot sophomore names, man. So that's where I'm at with this one. You really kind of made me go back to the drawing board and look at things. And I was like, damn, like, the only reason I'm crediting LaPorta right now is because what have you done for me lately? And that's what I don't want to fall victim of, right?
Another thing that people aren't paying a ton of attention to, and look, obviously with you being the resident Lions fan, you know this a lot more than I do, but yes, Dan Campbell is probably going to be the main play caller there in Detroit, running the, you know, the levers in the offense and whatnot, but replacing their old offensive coordinator is the guy coming over from the Arizona Cardinals, Drew Petzing. If we remember, who was the tight end on the Cardinals last year? The guy that ended up catching all those passes. Oh, that's right. Trey McBride. Yeah, that guy. The guy who was running that offense has now come over to Detroit to join this staff. Whatever impact that may have, I don't know how big of a difference that's going to make, but I just think it's a fun little extra layer on top of it. Just another thing kind of pointing in Sam LaPorta's direction. I like that call a ton. I think people are going to continue to overlook him, and that's just something that we don't need in our lives. We need people to be back on board with the Sam LaPorta train. Just curious, did you say where you have him in your 2026 season-long rankings by chance?
Yes, man, I moved him up to 3, dude. It's not that I think you should take him as the third tight end overall, but I'm just want to make sure we stay ahead of market and he's able to be people's tight end. I think he's going to go later than the rookies, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll see how things shake out. But yeah, he sits there now. Things can change, certainly. But man, he was one of those players when I went back to the drawing board, he just made a lot of sense. So I hiked him up.
Love that one. Love that perspective. Is there any other one that you want to get out there before we get out of here? Or are you good to wrap things up?
There's one other player. I mean, it's going to be quick. But I think for me, Terry McLaurin's going a little bit, I wouldn't say it's a hot take, but he's just going overlooked, right? He had a wide receiver 7 finish when him and Jaden Daniels were completely healthy. I'm not thinking he's slowing down at all. He didn't show signs of it. It was really just injury. If we get, you know, presumably we get a healthy Jaden Daniels, we get a healthy Terry McLaurin. I don't really care if they add anybody. He's a guy that I'm consistently seeing going. I saw him go in the 10th round of a dynasty startup, which seemed pretty late. You know, you have to pay like wide receiver 3 prices for a guy that probably is a wide receiver 2, but has wide receiver 1 upside. So I wanted to kind of end there. He was my last player I had on my list. Kind of looking at the clock, I was like, let's squeeze him in here. But Terry McLaurin's a guy that I think is undervalued and does have that kind of like top 15 upside that is going a lot later than that.
Totally with you on that one. I'm very hopeful that the Commanders are going to put it together a little bit more this year. I think getting out of the Cliff Kingsbury business is also going to really pay some dividends on top of Daniels hopefully being a little bit more healthy in 2026 as well. A good perspective to hold and a good episode overall, I must say. We got into a lot of really fun things in this one. Thank you all so much for tuning in. But before we get out of here, I did also just want to say and acknowledge the sad news of the passing of former NFL receiver Rondale Moore. If anybody is out there and you are ever feeling a little bit alone, you're feeling like you need some help, always reach out to somebody. You can follow me on Blue Sky at herms.bsky.social. If you ever just need somebody to talk to, you ever need a friend, you can always reach out to me. Take care of yourselves. Always check in with your people. And we will see you next time on the Crossing Routes Podcast. Adios.
Think about it before we go, just to say goodbye. And staying up and sleeping late.